Well, I'm going to say Stella is a candidate for top baby performance and a that's signs of good things to come. Now we have a chance to officially, in the spiritual focus, give thanks for all that was done to put an elevator into this facility. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of church people in Philly and around the country, and like many of you, I know when you have a sacred old building, a sacred space that's been around a long time and was not designed for certain things in the modern world, like an elevator, it is hard to put the people power and the money together to do it. I cannot tell. We had power clergy here on Thursday for a meeting with 20 of them, and the comments they were making about the commitment we showed to do this really stood out. I cannot tell you how grateful I am, because this was not a couple years of people working and fundraising and giving money. This was a decade of people wrestling with this issue, and the congregation said, dignity and accessibility for all. Period. Dignity and accessibility for all. If you come on this physical plant, we're going to get you around. And there was a lot of work done for a long time. And I now turn it over to Jen Leiby, our president, and William Dowdle, the chair of the elevator committee. They worked tirelessly for years, as did so many people who gave time and money. I am grateful beyond words.
Thanks, Kent. There are two other board presidents to hold up who worked tirelessly, Susan Smith and Tom Ott. I'm not sure if they're here today, Tom is sick. Well, we thank him in spirit, and we thank Susan in spirit. We gather each Sunday in fellowship, sharing our highs and lows, encouraging and supporting one another, and caring so deeply about each other and our church. Today, we'll take a moment to celebrate not only the completion of the elevator, but also the years of hard work and dedication that brought us here, as well as the commitment and devotion to living out our principles that this community has shown with support of this project. Our mission statement, Building Beloved Community with Compassion, Service, and Empowerment, encompasses why this church must exist. And to me, these words became an action with the community coming together to make our beautiful brand new elevator possible. An elevator was part of a master plan that was drafted several years ago. That master plan looked at ways of modifying the church building to better accommodate our needs. However, the location of an elevator in that plan didn't provide access to the Sullivan Chapel wing. And for those of you not familiar with the church, the Sullivan Chapel wing is on the other side of the courtyard from the sanctuary there. That could only be accessed via a set of stairs. There was a lift attached to the staircase that could get people to Sullivan, but it was not easily accessed by one person in a wheelchair if they were alone, and it was not always reliable. I witnessed it breaking down halfway up the flight of stairs, leaving the rider stuck until help arrived. Casual discussion at the end of a day at General Assembly in 2014 sparked an interest in exploring how we can access all levels of the building with dignity and comfort for everyone. In good UU fashion, a committee was formed to explore the possibility of making this happen. Congregational meetings were held to gauge interest and solicit feedback and ideas. A capital campaign was waged, raising the funds needed to make this a reality. And here we are today with a beautiful, functional, dignity-providing elevator. Thank you. This project would not have happened if members of this community hadn't put their financial resources into a pretty extreme capital campaign. It's not like we were raising little money. There are so many people who donated that I can't read all the names due to time. So if you gave any money to this project, either via donation or a Gap loan, please raise your hand or order of service so we can thank you. I won't ask you to stand in an effort to be accessible for all. Let's see them up in the air. There's more. Thank you. I have been overwhelmed by your generosity in making this elevator dream a reality. I'd especially like to hold up Gary Bromberg, beloved longtime member of USG, whose memorial bequest provided a much-needed $150,000 to get this project rolling. I hope he would approve. Now I'll turn it over to Bill Dowdle with huge thanks to his leadership. Bill steadfastly headed the team that worked tirelessly these last few years. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you. I'm not sure who the happiest person is in the congregation. If it's the people who actually need the elevator for mobility, Mike Rogers, who needs it to move furniture around the building, or me, who's finished with the elevator. We formed a committee, and this is 2016 was when the committee was formed. It was approved by the board to move forward with the fundraising and then into the committee. And the committee, the first thing we did was choose an architect, and it was John Hubert, whose design is just gorgeous over there. If you haven't been in the elevator building, please go over and take a look at it. It's an addition. On the second floor, it's just a very special space. There's a lot of windows, a lot of light comes in. Too bad the sun is not shining today. It's just a wonderful, special place that I think our members will really enjoy in the years to come. This was started as part of the 150th anniversary when the proposal was sent to Met, and Met thought that we could incorporate this in the 150th anniversary of the church. And so we did, and now it's 46 years from now, when we're doing the 200th anniversary, the elevator will still be there. And it's something to be very proud of. The committee, I want to thank the people that served on the elevator committee. This committee really worked well together, and it took some time to get to a point where we actually had a design that we could afford, and we started moving ahead with it. John Prawn's an architect. I don't know if John is here. If he is, raise your hand. Carolyn Cotton was a wonderful member. She looked at the project as the person who rents the facility out to different people and looking at the needs that we need as a building to be able to do that. Charles Gabriel. Charles is an engineer who actually worked on an elevator project up in Reading before he got to this project. Linda Bernstein, we all know Linda. Linda also co-chaired the fundraising committee. And she's doing a whole lot of work now in the follow-up on the fundraising committee. She's an incredible help. Gloria Goldiger. Gloria, you're here? There she is. Way in the back. Gloria had the most pain in the neck jobs to do. She had to figure out where to move people when we couldn't use part of the building because of the construction. That we have a daily use of a group that meets in the committee room, and what was going to take 10 days took, I think, 2 months of losing that space, and she just did this wonderful job. Bill Blasdell. Bill worked with me constantly during the whole construction phase. I mean, he was indispensable to me. He knows the building better than anybody. He gave the architect ideas on how to do certain things, knowing the building, and it became more cost-effective doing it in these ways. And finally, I need to mention the three presidents, Tom Ott, who's sick today, Susan Smith, and Jen Leiby. Susan was in the middle of the whole process when we were going to the board to get the final approval on both design and the actual contract with the builder to move ahead with this. And that, believe it or not, that was about a 10-month process going through that whole thing. And she was great help. She actually started coming to all the committee meetings during that process. And Jen Leiby is just fantastic. So that's what I want to say. It's just a very happy to be here and just say the job is done. Thank you.
we pause to lift up concerns and joys in our hearts. I invite you to intentionally reflect upon what is important to you right now. Who's struggling? Who's succeeding? We choose where to put our heart energy. And we do that together. We lift up Bill Perry and family. Bill continues to recover from a serious heart attack and remains in the hospital, but improving. Send out love to my mother, Mary Ellen Mathias, in Chicago, who is recovering from a stroke and doing better, and both have said multiple times how much they appreciate the love, Bill and Mary Ellen. We lift up Abby Porter, our friend and member whose father passed away this week in North Carolina. Abby's down there with family, and we send her so much love for this time of loss. We lift up and honor the Lenape peoples and Native peoples at this time of year where there is so much ambivalence around Thanksgiving. We lift up the hurt and pain caused by oppressive acts against Native people from the arrival of the first Europeans forward, and pray for courage and resistance together to keep building new chapters of life together. And now I invite you into a spirit of prayer, an introspection, after which we will sing together Spirit of Life. We give thanks for this Bread Communion Sunday. We give thanks that our children are together now, gathering bread. We lift up prayers for a world where everybody knows they deserve to be fed and are fed enough food. Bread is a sacred activity, the making, the stretching, the pulling of the dough, folding over and folding over, palms pushing down. Special things happen in the kneading. Special things happen in the oven. Bread rising. May we have open hearts and courage and love to feel the stretch and pull of our own lives. May the kneading of our lives prepare us. May we rise with life and gratefully be ready to serve.
Good morning. So yes, we're now in the Bread Communion portion of the service. And of course, you can participate if you feel willing. Nothing is, you don't have to do anything. There is gluten-free bread. There's a basket of gluten-free bread going around. Who has the gluten-free bread basket? Right there. If you need gluten-free bread, keep your hand raised and Freya will bring it to you. So while the children are passing the bread, I urge you to take a section. Please don't eat it yet. I know it's tempting. I ask you to wait till we're done. We're going to do a responsive reading once everyone has a piece of bread. So if we eat the bread now, what's going to happen is the responsive reading is going to sound like this. And bread's going to be spitting out of it. So we're trying to save that behavior for the brunch, okay? So bread. There's so many different, made of so many different grains and staple foods. Bread has been the foundation of life in so many cultures throughout the world since the beginning of basically human civilization. The oldest bread is 14,000 years old. It was made from wild grains. So not domesticated grains, but wild grains, because 14,000 years ago in the Middle East that we weren't farming yet. These were called barley cakes, by the way, these first kinds of bread. And they were for essentially the elite, or what we might call the 1% today. But when farming began, bread became democratized, right? Bread became a symbol of the people, the food of the people. And it's had that association ever since. And in that way, bread is a symbol for life, for friendship, and for community. And in fact, I don't know if you knew that the word companion, the Latin, means with bread. So to have a companion is someone that sits and breaks bread with you. So some of you have brought a loaf of bread to share, one that's special in some way. Perhaps you have a recipe from your grandparents, or it's part of your heritage associated with your ancestors, or maybe you brought in something from the store, or maybe even some Sunbeam white bread that you had as a child, and all is accepted here. Most breads are baked, some are steamed, some are deep fried, some are leavened with yeast, some are flat, some have been raised with soda. At this point, if you haven't any bread, raise your hand, and what we'll do is we'll see if the kids can get any last people who don't have bread. Okay. Choir's good. Excellent. Okay, kids. You can take the bread basket and you can put it down over here on this pew. Kids, get your own piece of bread. Make sure you get your own bread. Over there. And then y'all can take a seat. So, this is a ritual. We get a chance to break bread together. This is a ritual. It's an old ritual. And I've heard it said that ritual is a symbol in motion. So in this way, we take a symbol and we allow the symbol to move, to let it live through us. That's what bread communion does. Roshi David Parks, who's the director of Bluegrass Zen, once wrote, "Communion takes you out of your head and into direct awareness of the beloved community around you. And since we UUs live far too much in our heads, we can benefit from rituals that get us to this different level, into this different way of experiencing our spiritual self." So now I think we're ready to do the responsive reading. I see everyone's waiting and hasn't eaten their bread. It looks like it's cut off a little. I think we can do it. Here we go. Bread in hand. The bread we share this day is sacred. The friendship we share this day is sacred. The laughter we share this day is sacred. The stillness we share this day is sacred. For bread, for friends, for joy and sorrow, for the comforts of quietness, let us be ever grateful and caring. Thank you.